Moses, Witness of Jesus Christ, by Todd B. Parker and Robert Norman. Many plain and precious gospel truths once taught by Moses have been restored through the prophet Joseph Smith. Following the publication of the Book of Mormon in 1830, the prophet Joseph Smith labored with his new translation of the Holy Bible. During this process, the Lord revealed to the prophet what he had told Moses on Mount Sinai some 3,000 years earlier. "And in a day when the children of men shall esteem my words as naught, and take away many of them from the book which thou, Moses, shall write, behold, I will raise up another like unto thee, and they shall be had again among the children of men, among as many as shall believe." Moses chapter 1, verse 41. Joseph Smith had been called by the Lord to be a prophet like unto Moses, who would restore the text of Moses' writing so his words could be had again among the children of men. A significant part of this prophecy's fulfillment was accomplished through the prophet Joseph Smith's translation of the first 6 chapters of Genesis, now known as the Book of Moses and the Pearl of Great Price. We join with the rest of the world in gratitude for the Bible and the truths it contains. We also rejoice in the additional truths revealed again through a latter-day prophet. From his earlier translation of Nephi's vision in 1 Nephi chapter 13, the prophet Joseph Smith learned that many plain and most precious parts had been taken away from the Bible before it went forth among the nations of the Gentiles. See verses 26 through 29. Nephi had explained that the Lord would mercifully bring forth in his own power much of his gospel, which would be plain and precious. See verse 34. Through the Book of Mormon, and also through other books. See verse 39. As we look back on the unfolding of the Restoration, it becomes apparent that the Doctrine and Covenants, the Pearl of Great Price, and the Joseph Smith translation are included in the other books Nephi saw in vision. "These last records," Nephi wrote, "shall establish the truth of the first, the Bible, and shall make known the plain and precious things which have been taken away from them." Verse 40. Thus, latter-day revelation corrects the writing of some scholars who would question the historicity of Moses, the Exodus, the Red Sea crossing, and so forth. By revelation, the Lord has made known again, through the prophet Joseph Smith, truths once known and recorded by Moses that were previously unavailable to the present-day world. Such fundamental LDS doctrines as the premortal existence, the nature of the Godhead and Satan, the council in heaven, the plan of salvation, the power of the priesthood with its attendant keys and ordinances, the new and everlasting covenant, and information on Enoch and his Zion are all relatively obscure, non-existent, or misunderstood in modern Christendom. The following chart helps condense, clarify, and illustrate the additional truths the prophet Joseph Smith received concerning Moses and his ministry. A Latter-day Saint View of Moses. The left column lists the Bible's teachings about Moses. The right column lists additional information restored through the prophet Joseph Smith. What the Bible teaches. Premortality. No items. What latter-day revelation adds. Premortality. Befitting his priesthood assignment to preside over a gospel dispensation, Moses was selected premortally. See Abraham chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. Joseph of Egypt prophesied about Moses and his spokesman Aaron several centuries before Moses' birth. He prophesied that Moses would deliver Israel from Egypt by smiting the waters of the Red Sea, and that he would receive the law from the hand of the Lord. See 2 Nephi chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, and verses 16 through 21. Joseph Smith Translation, Genesis chapter 50, verses 24 through 29, and 34 and 35. Bible Appendix. What the Bible teaches, mortality. Moses was born to Levite parents and raised by Pharaoh's daughter. See Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, Acts chapter 7, verse 20 and 21, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. What Latter-day Revelation adds? Mortality. His parents saw that he was a peculiar, chosen, or special child. See Joseph Smith, Jr., The Holy Scriptures, Inspired Version, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. What the Bible teaches, mortality. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. See Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. What Latter-day Revelation adds? It was when Moses came to the years of discretion that he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. See Inspired Version, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. What the Bible teaches, mortality. He slew an Egyptian in defense of an Israelite. See Exodus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, Acts chapter 7, verse 24. He fled into Midian. See Exodus chapter 2, verses 10 through 20, Acts chapter 7, verses 24 through 29. He married Zipporah. They had two sons. See Exodus chapter 2, verses 21 and 22, chapter 18, verses 2 through 4, and Acts chapter 7, verse 29. An angel appeared to Moses in a burning bush, saying his name was I Am. See Exodus chapter 3, verses 2 through 14, Acts chapter 7, verses 30 through 34. What Latter-day Revelation adds? Mortality. The being who appeared to Moses is Jesus Christ, Jehovah, the great I Am. See Doctrine and Covenant, section 38, verse 1, section 39, verse 1. What the Bible teaches, mortality. Moses was called to deliver the children of Israel from Egypt. See Exodus chapter 3, verse 10. Aaron was chosen as Moses' spokesman. See Exodus chapter 4, verses 10 through 16. The Lord declared that Israel is his son, even his firstborn. If Pharaoh refused to let Israel go, Egypt's firstborn would be slain. See Exodus chapter 4, verses 22 and 23. What Latter-day Revelation adds? Mortality. Before Moses returned to Egypt, he was caught up in a high mountain and saw God face to face and was shown the workmanship of God's hands. See Moses chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. He was told he was in the similitude of Jesus Christ. See Moses chapter 1, verse 6. He beheld by the Spirit of God all the children of men on earth. See Moses chapter 1, verse 8 and 28 and 29. He was transfigured to see God. See Moses chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. He was confronted by Satan. See Moses chapter 1, verses 12 through 23. He began to fear exceedingly and saw the bitterness of hell. See Moses chapter 1, verse 20. He beheld God a second time during this experience. See Moses chapter 1, verse 25. He was told he would be a deliverer of Israel and that he would be made stronger than many waters. See Moses chapter 1, verses 25 and 26. He was shown the earth and every particle of it and discerned it by the Spirit of God. See Moses chapter 1, verse 27. He was shown many peopled earths. See Moses chapter 1, verses 29 through 33. He learned that all these worlds were created by the power of the only begotten Son. See Moses chapter 1, verses 32 and 33. He learned that the work and glory of God is to bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of man. See Moses chapter 1, verse 39. He was told the time would come when one like him would be raised up to bring forth the words delivered to him at that time. See Moses chapter 1, verse 41. What the Bible teaches. Moses departed for Egypt. See Exodus chapter 4, verses 19 and 20. The Lord will harden Pharaoh's heart. See Exodus chapter 4, verse 21. What Latter-day Revelation adds? Pharaoh will harden his heart, and he will not let the people go. See Joseph Smith Translation, Exodus, chapter 4, verse 21. What the Bible teaches. Moses assembled Israel. See Exodus, chapter 4, verses 29 through 31. He asked Pharaoh to free Israel. See Exodus, chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. He was reproached by the people of Israel. See Exodus, chapter 5, verses 20 and 21. Exodus chapter 6 verse 3 seems to indicate that the name of Jehovah was not known to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What Latter-day Revelation adds, Joseph Smith translation, Exodus chapter 6 verse 3 clarifies, I am the Lord God Almighty, the Lord Jehovah, and was not my name known unto them? What the Bible teaches, Moses said to the Lord, I am of uncircumcised lips. Exodus chapter 6 verse 30. What Latter-day Revelation adds, Moses said, I am of stammering lips and slow of speech. See Joseph Smith translation text in Exodus 6 chapter 30, footnote A. What the Bible teaches. The Lord told Moses, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Exodus chapter 7 verse 1. What Latter-day Revelation adds, I have made thee a prophet to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy spokesman. Joseph Smith Translation, Exodus chapter 7, verse 1. What the Bible teaches, Moses' miracles were imitated by sorcerers. See Exodus chapter 7. Latter-day Revelation adds, the Egyptians came to understand that Moses' miracles were done by God's power, while the magician's miracles were not. What the Bible teaches. Moses led Israel through the Red Sea. See Exodus chapter 14, verses 15 through 31. The people of Israel murmured against Moses. See Exodus chapter 15, verse 24. He smote the rock at Horeb, and water came out of it. See Exodus chapter 17, verses 5 and 6. Israel was fed by manna from heaven. See Exodus chapter 16, verses 14 through 36. Jethro was Moses' father-in-law. See Exodus chapter 18, verse 1. What Latter-day Revelation adds? Moses had received the Melchizedek priesthood from Jethro, a high priest who had received it in a priesthood line that went back to Adam. See Doctrine and Covenants, section 84, verses 6 through 16. What the Bible teaches. Moses received the law. See Exodus chapter 19. What Latter-day Revelation adds. The law of Moses typified Jesus Christ. See 2 Nephi chapter 11 verse 4. The Father was worshipped in the name of the Son by keeping the law of Moses. See Jacob chapter 4 verse 5. Salvation does not come through the law alone, but through the atonement. See Mosiah chapter 13, verse 28. What the Bible teaches. Moses returned with tablets of stone. See Exodus chapter 32. What Latter-day Revelation adds. Moses received the higher law and ordinances of the Melchizedek priesthood during his first 40 days with the Lord. See Joseph Smith Translation, Exodus chapter 34, verses 1 and 2, Bible Appendix, Doctrine and Covenants, section 84, verses 23 and 24, Joseph Smith Translation, Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 2. What the Bible teaches. Moses broke the tablets and destroyed the golden calf. See Exodus chapter 32, verses 19 and 20. The Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do. Exodus chapter 32, verse 14. What Latter-day Revelation adds? The Lord said if Israel would repent of the evil they had done in worshiping the golden calf, he would forgive them. See Joseph Smith Translation, Exodus chapter 32, verse 14, and the Bible Appendix. What the Bible teaches. Moses was a leader in God's stead. See Exodus chapter 33, verses 1 through 3. What Latter-day Revelation adds? Moses and Aaron governed as God's representatives, They taught the people in both civic and ecclesiastical affairs. What the Bible teaches. The Lord spoke with Moses face to face. See Exodus chapter 33, verse 11. What Latter-day Revelation adds. No man hath seen God at any time in the flesh, unless quickened, transfigured, by the Spirit. See Doctrine and Covenants, section 67, verse 11. What the Bible teaches. The Lord told Moses, Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. Exodus chapter 33, verse 20. What Latter-day Revelation adds. Thou canst not see my face at this time, neither shall there be any sinful man at any time that shall see my face. See Joseph Smith Translation, Exodus chapter 33, verse 20, and the Bible Appendix. What the Bible teaches. Moses obtained two new tables of stone. See Exodus chapter 34, verses 1 through 4, and verse 27. What Latter-day Revelation adds. The second set of tablets contained the lesser law and was associated with the Aaronic priesthood. See Joseph Smith Translation, Exodus chapter 34, verses 1 and 2. Bible Appendix, Joseph Smith Translation, Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 2. What the Bible teaches. Moses was with God another 40 days. See Exodus chapter 34, verse 28. What Latter-day Revelation adds. Moses' 40-day preparation in the wilderness can be compared to Jesus' 40-day preparation. See Moses chapter 1, verse 6, and chapter 6, verse 63. What the Bible teaches. Moses' face shone when he came down from the mount. See Exodus chapter 34, verses 29 through 35. What Latter-day Revelation adds. In a separate experience, Moses was transfigured to behold the Lord. See Moses chapter 1, verse 11. Being transfigured would explain the illumination of his countenance when he returned from Mount Sinai. What the Bible teaches. He constructed the tabernacle. See Exodus chapter 40, verses 17 through 38. What Latter-day Revelation adds. The tabernacle was to provide ordinances necessary for exaltation. See Doctrine and Covenants, section 124, verses 38 through 40. What the Bible teaches. He consecrated Aaron and his sons. See Leviticus, chapter 8. What Latter-day Revelation adds. Moses was an authorized minister, called by Aaron by revelation, and ordained him. See Leviticus chapter 8, verses 6 through 9, and verse 12. What the Bible teaches. Moses took the census of the Israelite tribes. See Numbers chapter 1. He raised the brazen serpent on a pole. See Numbers chapter 21, verses 8 and 9. What Latter-day Revelation adds. Looking at the serpent symbolized looking to the Savior to live. See Helaman chapter 8, verses 14 and 15. Because of the simpleness of the way, many did not look. See 1 Nephi chapter 17, verse 41. Moses raised up a type, foreshadowing, of Christ. Few understood, and because of hard hearts, would not look. See Alma chapter 33, verses 18 through 20. What the Bible teaches. He appointed Joshua to lead Israel. See Numbers chapter 27, verses 15 through 23. Moses prophesied of a prophet like unto him. See Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 15 through 19. What Latter-day Revelation adds. The prophet of which Moses spoke was Jesus Christ. See 3 Nephi chapter 20, verse 23. And 1 Nephi, chapter 22, verses 20 to 21. What the Bible teaches. Moses blessed the 12 tribes. See Deuteronomy, chapter 33. Moses died. See Deuteronomy, chapter 34, verses 5 through 7. What Latter-day Revelation adds. Moses was translated, or changed so he would not experience death. See Alma chapter 45, verse 19. What the Bible teaches: post-mortality, no items. What Latter-day Revelation adds: Moses returned as a translated being to give priesthood keys to Peter, James, and John during the Savior's mortal ministry. He was among the great and mighty ones who were assembled in the spirit world, whom the Savior instructed and prepared as messengers to carry the message of redemption to those in prison to whom the Savior did not go personally because of their rebellion and transgression. Doctrine and Covenant, section 138, verses 37 and 38 and 41. See also Doctrine and Covenant, section 128, verse 22. Moses returned as a resurrected being to restore the keys of the gathering of Israel and the restoration of the 10 tribes to the prophet Joseph Smith. See Doctrine and Covenant, section 110, verse 11, section 133, verse 54. Moses' teachings. The reader may conclude by comparing columns 1 and 2 that a wealth of additional understanding on Moses has been restored through the prophet Joseph Smith. What follows is an elaboration of some of these points. The King James Version of the Bible begins with the first book of Moses, called Genesis. Verse 1 commences, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." However, the Joseph Smith translation of Moses' writing supplies an additional chapter prior to the creation account of the biblical text in Genesis chapter 1. This additional chapter renders a major contribution to what we know about Moses' understanding and perspective of the Lord's purposes, thereby expanding our understanding as well. We learn that Moses was transfigured and caught up into an exceedingly high mountain. See Moses chapter 1, verse 1. There he beheld God, and a vision of this world and everyone that either had lived or was living or was yet to live upon it. Moses was raised as a prince in Egypt. He was well educated and revered as a great organizer and leader. See Acts chapter 7, verse 22. Joseph Smith translation, Genesis chapter 50, verses 24 through 36, and the Bible Appendix. However, as a result of his mountaintop experience, he comprehended new concepts that he had never before considered. "For this cause I know that man is nothing, which thing I never had supposed." Moses chapter 1, verse 10. This transfiguration and vision that the Lord gave to Moses elevated his view of many things. He saw a new eternal perspective with spiritual eyes. Verse 11. He understood that worlds without number were created by the Father's only begotten Son, that many worlds had passed away, many now stood, and other worlds would yet come into existence. See verses 35 and 38. The vistas of Moses' vision were expanded to behold God's intended purpose for mankind's existence. "For behold, this is my work and my glory, to bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of man." Verse 39. Blessed with this broader vision, this panoramic perspective, this God's eye view of the Lord's entire plan and purpose, Moses was better prepared to lead covenant Israel from spiritual darkness and Egyptian bondage into light and freedom in the land of their fathers. Before this world and beyond this world. President Boyd K. Packer, acting president of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, stated, "No more profound truth has been conveyed to us in the restoration than the knowledge of our premortal existence. No other church knows or teaches this truth." Through the prophet Joseph Smith, we learn that the doctrinal scaffolding of this principle was revealed to Moses when the Lord said, "For I, the Lord God, created all things of which I have spoken spiritually before they were naturally upon the face of the earth." Moses chapter 3, verse 5. To the spiritual eyes of Moses also came a vision of a premortal council held in heaven, wherein the Father presented the plan of salvation. Jesus Christ was willing to come to earth, give his life for us, and take upon himself our sins, while preserving the honor of the Father and the agency of man. Satan's reaction to this plan was one of rebellion. Satan sought to dethrone God and to save all men without reference to their works. The Father chose Jesus Christ. Satan rebelled and kept not his first estate. See Moses chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, and Abraham chapter 3, verses 24 through 28. As Latter-day Saints, we have learned that it was Jesus Christ in his role as Jehovah who gave Moses the Ten Commandments and the law. See 3 Nephi chapter 15, verse 5. Through the prophet Joseph Smith, it has been made clear that since the fall of Adam, Jesus Christ is the being from whom revelation is received by prophets. The nature of God. The true nature of God has unfortunately become clouded and confused throughout much of the world because of the creeds of men and misinterpretation of the biblical text. Without the restored light and truth afforded the saints through the book of Moses, many have made incorrect assumptions as to the nature of God, that God is a formless spirit, or that he is without body, parts, or passions. These incorrect perceptions have been perpetuated for centuries when the revelatory correcting tongues of prophets have been silenced due to apostasy. The Christian world in general interprets Moses' wording of Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, as figurative, not literal. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." However, to Moses, the original revelation came with great clarity. In the image of his own body, male and female, created he them. See Moses chapter 6, verse 9. Further clarification of this doctrine was revealed to the prophet Joseph Smith with unmistakable plainness. The Father has a body of flesh and bones as tangible as man's, the Son also, but the Holy Ghost is a personage of spirit. Doctrine and Covenants, section 130, verse 22. The plan of salvation. As part of his preparation between his call recorded in Exodus chapter 3 and his leading the children of Israel from Egyptian bondage recorded in Exodus chapter 12, Moses was trained in a vision by the Lord himself, a panoramic overview of the Lord's entire plan and purpose. Was beneficial for Moses to have before functioning as the Lord's servant to deliver his people from bondage. If a person is to make sense of a myriad of disassembled puzzle pieces, a picture of the completed puzzle adds immeasurably in guiding one's efforts. He was taught of worlds and the purposes or plan for which they had been made. This plan, revealed to Moses, is variously called the plan of happiness. Alma chapter 42, verse 8. The plan of redemption. Alma chapter 12, verse 32. The plan of salvation. Jerem chapter 1, verse 2. And the plan of mercy. Alma chapter 42, verse 15. Unfortunately, the clear picture of the plan of exaltation has been lost from the Bible. The phrase plan of salvation, so frequently used in Latter-day Saint vocabulary, is not found in our current Bible. One of the major contributions restored by the prophet Joseph Smith is that Moses knew that the entire plan was known even before the world was created. The concept that there would be a creation, a fall, an atoning Savior, prophets, dispensations, ordinances, and so on was all known before the world began. Unknown to much of the modern world is the fact that all prophets from the time of Adam onward testified of Jesus Christ, his atonement, and his plan of salvation. See Mosiah chapter 13, verse 33, Jacob chapter 7, verse 11. Each of the dispensation leaders, including Adam, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and the prophet Joseph Smith, had the entire plan of salvation revealed to them. See Alma chapter 12, verses 30 to 32, and Doctrine and Covenants, section 22, verse 1. Part of that plan includes covenants and ordinances that are eternal or everlasting. Hence the term, the New and Everlasting Covenant, is used, new because it is revealed anew in each dispensation, and everlasting because the doctrines and truths that form its foundation are eternal. The central or core doctrine of the plan is the infinite and eternal atonement of Jesus Christ. The Fall and the Atonement. President Ezra Taft Benson observed, "Just as a man does not really desire food until he is hungry, so he does not desire the salvation of Christ until he knows why he needs Christ. No one adequately and properly knows why he needs Christ until he understands and accepts the doctrine of the fall and its effects upon mankind." Moses' account of the fall, as recorded in Genesis chapters 2 and 3, gives a brief account of what took place in Eden almost 6 millennia ago. Yet from the restored account of Moses and other revelations provided us by Joseph Smith, the answer to why the fall occurred gives welcome enlightenment. We come to understand more fully the necessity of this central event in the plan of salvation. In contrast to the Genesis text, the Moses text emphasizes the agency accompanying the Lord's instruction to Adam and Eve. Unlike other commandments, where the Lord forbids certain actions, on this occasion he added, "Nevertheless, thou mayest choose for thyself." Moses chapter 3, verse 17. If they wanted to remain as they were, i.e., no death, no children, no sorrow, no joy, etc., they should not partake of a particular fruit. But if they desired to partake, they were free to do so. In this way, Adam could use his agency so that man might be, 2 Nephi chapter 2, verse 25, and have the resultant joy for which the plan was originally intended. After their transgression, Adam and Eve found themselves in a different world with very different conditions from their previous existence. Procreation, children, aging, pain, sorrow, joy, death, and corruption all attended the celestial world. Although this changed world now included opposition and negative contrast to their former paradisiacal environment, both Adam and Eve rejoiced realizing the progress this new world would bring. And in that day, Adam blessed God and was filled, and began to prophesy concerning all the families of the earth, saying, "Blessed be the name of God, for because of my transgression, my eyes are opened, and in this life I shall have joy, and again in the flesh I shall see God." And Eve, his wife, heard all these things and was glad, saying, "Were it not for our transgression, we never should have had seed, and never should have known good and evil, and the joy of our redemption, and the eternal life which God giveth unto all the obedient." Moses chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. Although the promised consequences resulted from the partaking of the fruit, the book of Moses reveals that a Savior would redeem mankind, that by reason of transgression cometh the fall, which fall bringeth death. Even so ye must be born again into the kingdom of heaven, of water and of the Spirit, and be cleansed by blood, even the blood of mine only begotten, that ye might be sanctified from all sin, and enjoy the words of eternal life in this world, and eternal life in the world to come, even immortal glory. Moses chapter 6, verse 59. The Lord revealed to the prophet Joseph Smith that God, having redeemed man from the fall, men became again, in their infant state, innocent before God. Doctrine and Covenants, section 93, verse 38. The physical death brought about by Adam's fall is overcome by the reuniting of the body and spirit, which began with the resurrection. The spiritual death brought about by Adam's fall is overcome by the atonement and the priesthood ordinances of the gospel, and also when all are returned to the presence of God to be judged according to their deeds in the flesh. See Helaman chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. Alma chapter 42, verse 23, and 2 Nephi chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. the teaching so prevalent in the world that the results of Adam's sin are incumbent upon his posterity born into this world, are also corrected in the prophet Joseph Smith's translation of Moses' writing. The Son of God hath atoned for original guilt, wherein the sins of the parents cannot be answered upon the heads of the children, for they are whole from the foundation of the world. Moses chapter 6, verse 54. We are still, however, accountable for our own sins, which result in an alienation from God, called spiritual death. See Doctrine and Covenants, section 29, verse 41. The atonement provides a way back from spiritual death. Moses' writings teach that the way of redemption from the sins we commit in this fallen state is through faith in Jesus Christ, repentance, baptism, and the gift of the Holy Ghost. Through this process, we can be redeemed from our sins and regain God's presence. See Moses chapter 6, verses 48 through 62. The Law Given to Moses. After spending 40 days upon Mount Sinai and receiving instructions from the Lord for his people, Moses returned to a scene of wickedness and idolatry. See Exodus chapter 32, verses 19 through 28. In response to the Lord's command to execute judgment on an unrepentant Israel, Moses broke the original tablets of stone and returned to the mount to receive further instructions. See Joseph Smith translation, Exodus chapter 32, verse 14, and the Bible Appendix. Although Exodus chapter 34 explains the Lord's directions to Moses to hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, verse 1, details are absent as to the difference in content between the two sets of tablets. The prophet Joseph Smith learned that the first set of tablets Moses received contained information on the Melchizedek priesthood, the holy order associated with it, and the ordinances that appertained to it, as well as some material that was retained in the second set of tablets. Joseph Smith translation, Exodus chapter 34, verses 1 and 2, Bible Appendix, Joseph Smith translation, Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 2. In the Doctrine and Covenants, we learn that the Lord intended Israel to have the ordinances of the higher priesthood to enable them to enter into his presence. But due to their rebellion, the Lord took the greater priesthood out of their midst. And this greater priesthood administereth the gospel and holdeth the key of the mysteries of the kingdom, even the key of the knowledge of God. And without the ordinances thereof and the authority of the priesthood, the power of godliness is not manifest unto men in the flesh. Now this Moses plainly taught to the children of Israel in the wilderness, and sought diligently to sanctify his people that they might behold the face of God. But they hardened their hearts, and could not endure his presence. Therefore the Lord in his wrath, for his anger was kindled against them, swore that they should not enter into his rest while in the wilderness, which rest is the fullness of his glory. Therefore he took Moses out of their midst, and the holy priesthood also. And the lesser priesthood continued, which priesthood holdeth the key of the ministering of angels and the preparatory gospel. Doctrine and Covenants, section 84, verses 19, 21, and 23 through 26. Under the law of Jesus Christ, Israel was to commune with the Father, with Jehovah as a mediator, as a result of Israel's unwillingness and unworthiness to see the Lord's face and enter his rest. Moses then communed with Jehovah in their behalf at their own request. See Exodus chapter 20, verses 18 and 19. The principles operative in the Mosaic law were explained by the prophet Abinadi to the wicked priests of King Noah in about 150 B.C., these principles provided added understanding as to why the lesser law of carnal commandments was required of Israel. Said Abinadi, "And now I say unto you that it was expedient that there should be a law given to the children of Israel, yea, even a very strict law, for they were a stiff-necked people, quick to do iniquity, and slow to remember the Lord their God. Therefore there was a law given them, yea, a law of performances and of ordinances, a law which they were to observe strictly from day to day, to keep them in remembrance of God and their duty towards him. But behold, I say unto you that all these things were types of things to come. Mosiah chapter 13, verses 29 through 31. The post-mortal ministry of Moses. The Savior promised the keys of the kingdom of heaven to Peter, as recorded in Matthew chapter 16, verses 16 through 19. Keys that would give Peter authority to bind things on earth and have them bound in heaven. 6 months before Jesus' crucifixion, he took Peter, James, and John to a high mountain to have these priesthood keys conferred upon them. It was then and there that Moses and Elijah appeared and gave to those apostles the keys of the kingdom. Through the prophet Joseph Smith, we understand that Moses and Elijah returned as translated beings with bodies of flesh and bone to confer the priesthood keys to Peter, James, and John. Translated beings are personages of a terrestrial order preserved for a period from death. This same Moses and Elijah, now resurrected, see Doctrine and Covenants, section 133, verses 54 through 55, also appeared to Joseph Smith and Oliver Cowdery in the Kirtland Temple on 3 April 1836. Priesthood keys, which they held, were once again restored to mortals on earth. Moses conferred upon the prophet Joseph Smith and Oliver Cowdery the keys of the gathering of Israel and the leading of the 10 tribes from the land of the north, while Elijah restored the keys of the sealing power. See Doctrine and Covenants, section 110, verses 11 through 15. Hence, Moses' ministry did not end in the wilderness as he watched Joshua lead Israel over Jordan. Some have interpreted from Bible texts that Moses died in disgrace. The restored gospel teaches us that he was translated in honor for an important future mission. In summary, a most significant truth revealed to the prophet Joseph Smith that expands our horizons immeasurably is recorded in Moses chapter 6, verse 63, and centers on the Lord Jesus Christ. And behold, all things have their likeness, and all things are created and made to bear record of me, both things which are temporal and things which are spiritual, things which are in the heavens above and things which are on the earth, and things which are in the earth and things which are under the earth, both above and beneath. All things bear record of me. If we can but comprehend that Jesus Christ, the Creator of the universe, is the master teacher, that the universe is his classroom, and that his curriculum is the atonement and all things pertaining to it, then the rich symbolism of the Scriptures can come alive for us. In such a study, Moses' life and ministry are excellent examples that all things testify of Christ. Moses' life is a type or symbol of the Savior's life, and Moses' ministry is a symbol of Jesus Christ's teachings and the plan of salvation, the avenue by which we may return to our Father's presence. Gospel topics: atonement, creation, fall, law of Moses, modern revelation, Moses, plan of salvation. Note: Todd B. Parker is an associate professor of ancient scripture at Brigham Young University. Robert Norman is an instructor at the Salt Lake University Institute of Religion. End of note. End of the article, Moses, Witness of Jesus Christ, by Todd B. Parker and Robert Norman.
Mount Sinai as a pattern for the tabernacle. When the children of Israel arrived at Mount Sinai, the Lord reminded them, I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Exodus chapter 19, verse 4. Even though God dwelt in the heavens, he spoke from Mount Sinai, the mountain of the Lord's house. He brought them there to make a covenant with them and to create a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. Exodus chapter 19, verse 6. The tabernacle the Lord commanded Moses to build bears similarity to Mount Sinai. See Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5. Both had a 3-level structure. First, an altar was constructed at the base of the mountain where all of Israel could sacrifice to the Lord. Similarly, the tabernacle had an outer court where Israel could make their sacrifices at the altar. The next level was higher up the mountain. There, after their sanctification, see Exodus chapter 24, verses 4 through 8, Moses took Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and 70 elders. There they saw and conversed with the God of Israel, and ate in his presence, even as the priests were only allowed to eat the showbread while in the holy place. See Exodus chapter 24, verses 9 through 11. The highest level was the top of the mountain, where only Moses could go and where he received the law. See Exodus chapter 24, verse 2 and verses 12 through 18. Similarly, the tabernacle contained the Holy of Holies, which represented the presence of the Lord. Only the high priest was allowed to enter these quarters once a year on the Day of Atonement. The tablets of the Law of Moses were kept in this holy room. Mount Sinai was the first sanctuary for the children of Israel. It was there that Moses received direction to build the tabernacle, which became a second sanctuary. One can also see that the three levels that comprised both sanctuaries may represent the telestial, terrestrial, and celestial levels in the plan of salvation. An understanding of temples and the vital work that takes place within them is one of the great blessings enjoyed by Latter-day Saints. The prophet Joseph Smith taught that the purpose for gathering the people of God in any age of the world is to build unto the Lord a house whereby he could reveal unto his people the ordinances of his house and the glories of his kingdom, and teach the people the way of salvation. For there are certain ordinances and principles that, when they are taught and practiced, must be done in a place or house built for that purpose. Teachings of the prophet Joseph Smith, page 308. End of article, Mount Sinai as a pattern for the tabernacle.